Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, sports fans. Welcome back to another edition of the Neek and Rude Show. We're going to bring you more NFL news and what's been going on in the league 2018 and going into the 2019 season. So prepare for another jam-packed episode. We're going to break down the NFC East today, kind of what happened last season and the moves that the teams made in the offseason. So, Neek, what's the first thing on the docket for today?
Well, let's just talk about McCown boy. One of the McCown boys just retired, and that's Josh McCown, which was shockingly because he actually played longer than I expected him to play because, you know, McCown to me, we always joke when we used to have the show, we used to do the show, the Troop by Two Sports Fans. Rudy and I used to always joke about the McCown boys, Josh and Luke, how we felt like they should not be starting. But actually, you know, Josh McCown, when, you know, he had the time, you know, when he was called up on the start, a couple games for the Browns, he did throw for, what, 500 yards in one game?
It was like the Dukes of Hazzard. It was like, now the boys, Luke and Duke, on the McCown boys.
Yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, Josh McCown actually had a pretty solid NFL career.
He was actually the classic bridge quarterback, you know, setting up guys like, you know, at the end, right? Like it was, you know, the guy down Darnold in, for the Jets. And then, you know, before that, guys like Johnny Manziel, you know, just being that classic bridge quarterback, like the guy who's going to start as the veteran, the grizzled veteran, you know, until the rookie or the guy who just got drafted is ready to start the future of the franchise. And he's always that guy. He's almost like the guy, the girl, you know, when you're in high school that didn't get asked to the prom, but, you know, or the bridesmaid at a wedding. Just, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the starting quarterback, franchise quarterback.
Yeah, you kind of lost me on that one, man. You go from prom to the bridesmaid, huh? Okay. All right, Rube. All right, but that's pretty much the only news going on, what happened this past week. Josh McCown retired and is now working on ESPN as an analyst.
He's doing pretty good, too. And don't forget about the replay changes that were not really changes. You know, the officials will still have the ability to review things within inside 2 minutes, but coaches' challenges really haven't changed too much. So it's kind of like news about nothing there with the meetings about the coaches' rule change or coaches' review changes.
Yeah, I don't understand that. They need to do something with the replay. They need to get it right.
Don't forget that, you know, you can now challenge pass interference and non-pass interference calls. So that's the main change that was made.
Yeah, I mean, diddle. It's the New Orleans Saints rule. We happened in that playoff game. We all know how they got robbed. So that's the main reason why that rule.
The only thing I don't like is, what about holding? When are we going to start reviewing holding? Things like that. So, I mean, it's like, how far are we going to go? Or, you know, when is everybody just going to be happy with replay? It's like, replay is kind of a touchy subject because you always realize you're going to have some human element with referees and you're going to have some human error. But you want to get it as right as possible. And I think that unless you open it up to review for everything and allow coaching challenges in the last 2 minutes, you can't get the system as good as you can. So I think more like 5 challenges for a game would be good. I want the games to be as long as possible. Hell, people say they want games faster. Make it 4 hours. I don't care.
Nah, I agree with you, man, because
just get it right.
There's some valuable missed calls on the field, you know, especially the holding. I agree with you on the holding because there's some non-blatant holds or that they so-called, oh, he grabbed him by this, blah, blah, blah. No other rule I can't stand is the chop block. Oh, he hit him below the knees. I mean, so what the hell?
Holding happens every play. I'm about to go completely left field on Unique, and we can get down to business after this. I think they should put a sensor on the goal line and like a little some kind of mechanical sensor in the ball, and then, like, you could be able to tell actually when the ball crosses the goal line. And it just, like, light up.
What was that song called, Things That Make You Go, Hmm?
Futuristic. I mean, it takes some of the human element out of it with, you know, like, the eyeball. You know, it's just like, either it did or it didn't at some point.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Not bad. I mean, when did you just come up with that? You've been thinking about that all this week?
I've been thinking about that for years, Nick.
Oh, okay. For years. Wow. Long time. And you finally
I've developed the technology.
Okay. Alrighty then, everybody. Like Rudy said at the top of the show, we're going to recap the NFC East division from last season. We're going to talk about these four teams. I'm going to talk about what went right, what went wrong for these teams. Rudy's going to talk about the upgrades that these teams made in this offseason during the draft, free agency, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's start with these Cowboys. Last season for the Cowboys wasn't a bad year. It was actually a surprising year for this team. I mean, they do have a lot of talent. You know, offensive line has to stay healthy, blah, blah, blah. But they actually improved. I mean, they actually shocked some people. I mean, I can't stand the Cowboys because I'm a Giants fan. But I respect them. I still, to this day, don't understand how the hell they are America's team when they haven't done nothing since 1995. So that's the way I feel about them. Patriots should be America's team. They got the most Super Bowls in the last, 20 years.
And they were red, white, and blue.
And they red, red, white, and blue.
And they got Captain America playing for them at quarterback.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, if you want to call him Captain America, that's you. But anyway, Dak Prescott actually had a good season, solid season. We know this offseason he's due for a contract extension. He threw for over 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Ezekiel Elliott stayed healthy for the full season. No off-the-field issues, 1,400 yards rushing, over 1,400 yards rushing, 6 TDs, 77 catches out of the backfield, catching those passes out the backfield. We already know Ezekiel, when he doesn't have no off-the-field issues, he's a beast. I mean, this kid is young. He's still a beast. He has a long future ahead as long as he stays healthy. We know about the late season trade of Amari Cooper from the Oakland Raiders. Cooper came over in the 9 games he played with the Cowboys, had 53 catches, over 700 yards, to 6 touchdowns.
That worked out for the Cowboys. Amari Cooper went down there and straight balled out, took Dallas to the playoffs almost by himself. Basically won the NFC East, really helped them to do that, you know, alongside Dak and obviously Zeke. And, man, I mean, how are you feeling about that as a Raiders fan, too, Nick? Going to a team that you don't like in the Cowboys, losing a player, you know, of that caliber in Amari Cooper, former first-round draft pick. How did you feel to watch that happen?
I mean, I'll put it like this. Amari Cooper, he's got talent. You know, he was in Oakland. He just his talent wasn't on display. He was so inconsistent. He wasn't a Gruden guy, wide receiver, you know.
But you would see flashes. Like, I remember one year he balled out against the Browns.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. He's here and there, you know what I'm saying? Like, when he came up for the Cowboys, let's take those first 4 or 5 games, he balled out. But then towards the end of the season, those last 3 games, we didn't hear much from Amari Cooper. I mean, that's what he is. He's inconsistent. He's like a magician. Hey, well, watch my magic act. Oh, damn. Sorry, guys, you didn't see it in 3 weeks. I mean, that's how he is. But anyway, offensive line was solid as usual last season for the Cowboys. Collins, to some people, they look at him as the weak link at the right tackle position. Also the wide receiver position. Let me go on back, talk about the other guys. Gallup, actually the rookie, solid season, 33 catches, 507 yards. Cole Beasley left this offseason in free agency, chipped in with 65 catches on the year. Defensive side of the ball. The defense line, man, DeMarcus Lawrence balled out, 10.5 sacks. Randall Gregory, 6 sacks. Malik Collins, 3 sacks. Taco Charlton, man. Taco. It was so much hype on this kid. And he just has not put it together because they were talking about, oh, what's this going to be his nickname down in the Big D? We got to come up with this and that. He might have an endorsement with Taco Bell, this and that. You ain't getting no damn endorsements because you ain't doing nothing. You had 1 sack on the season. Taco.
What you saying? You a little too overrated.
I ain't going to say that right now. But so far, he has shown that he's got a lot of bust potential.
Or is
written
he
all over
a little too busty?
Yeah, Taco, man. Come on, man. Seriously, man. I mean, you know, I like Taco Bell. Sometimes I just go there and just get 1 taco, and that's all you had on the season, man. Just 1 taco, 1 sack. That's it. That's pretty bad, man. Linebacker position.
Pancakes and tacos. Huh?
Yeah, linebacker position. Vander Esch, man, from Boise State, balled out, 140 tackles, 2 interceptions. Could have been up there for defense rookie of the year. We know Darius Leonard won it in Indianapolis. Jalen Smith was healthy for the full season, came back from that crucial, what was it, torn ACL he did in college.
Yeah, but if you're going to go down the linebacker list, you got to name Sean Lee.
Nah, man. I mean, Sean Lee only played in 5 games started, man. I mean, Sean Lee's getting up there in age. We know every season Sean Lee has a hamstring issue, a back issue, knee issue, leg issue, some kind of element that's going to put him out 4 or 5 games, maybe longer than that. But Sean Lee heading into the season, he knows he's going to be a backup this season. That is what it is. Secondary, Byron Jones, solid as usual. Jordan Lewis stepped up. Woozy had 71 tackles. Ooh, just reading his name, I'm a little woozy myself. But anyway, Jeff Heath, 85 tackles, interception. Xavier Woods stepped in with 2 picks. And that is the Cowboys for last season. So 10-6, lost the divisional round game to the Rams. 2019 season, they should go a step bit further. We'll see what they do.
Well, Neek explained to you what the Cowboys, you know, really are all about. They got that base, Amari Cooper, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott on offense. And, you know, like you said, the team went 10-6 last year. So some of the things they did to improve via the draft and free agency were they did draft Tristan Hill in the 2nd round, defensive lineman out of University of Central Florida. You know, that franchise has done very well over the last few years. And Tristan Hill was their first draft pick going in the 2nd round this year to try to help bolster that defensive line. Another thing that they did, unrelated to the draft, but that was big for the Cowboys and that's going to be a theme for them, is kind of re-signing their talent, working on contract talks with Dak Prescott. Did, you know, re-sign DeMarcus Lawrence to a deal over $100 million this offseason. And then also the only other draft pick I think for the Cowboys that had any impact whatsoever could potentially be, you know, a guy that could spell Ezekiel Elliott a little bit. From Ohio State, Mike Weber, who was drafted out of the 7th round. I actually thought coming out of college, you know, this is a guy who was very talented. You know, he had a split carries a lot, you know, and a kind of a, you know, running back by committee type backfield. But guy's got a lot of talent, and you could also look at him like he's fresh because of that, because he didn't get a lot of wear and tear in college. So we'll see, you know, what he does on the Cowboys roster and if he can contribute in the running game and, you know, help Ezekiel Elliott carry that running back workload. Randall Cobb was the big signing of the Cowboys. And from all reports from the Cowboys offseason work, mandatory minicamp and everything, the Randall Cobb signing actually has been pretty impressive. And, you know, Cobb was the guy who really contributed in Green Bay, you know, had a good career there. And, you know, now he's in Dallas, going to play with Cooper, catching balls from Dak Prescott. And we'll see what those guys can do together to mesh on the field. George Aloka was a former Bengal safety that the Cowboys signed in free agency. And then also when we talk about what players left, Neek mentioned Cole Beasley going to the Bills, Terrence Williams also the receiver that the Cowboys let go. Or he got dropped off.
Yeah, Terrence Williams been a little disappointed. But anyway, all right, let's move on. All right. Rue was talking to me before we did the show tonight and said, man, Nick, I know you got a big rant about them Giants, about your Giants. Actually, I'm pretty calm right now, man. I'm not really going to go on a rant because when we brought in Pat Schumer, I wasn't sold on him as a coach. Giants like to go back. I know, you know, Mara and Tish.
Ex-Browns coach.
Yeah, Mara and Tish, they like to go back to that New York Giant tree, the coaching tree. They want to get a coach that's going to come in here and just – I mean, I don't know, man. Let me not even go on to say all that stuff because I'm just not a fan of Schumer. I just felt like we should win with somebody, a younger guy. We should win somebody, a new guy or whatever. I mean, we know about Schumer's first go-around, the head coach, wasn't too successful, blah, blah. But Schumer just wasn't a sexy pick for the Giants as a head coach. And then Dave Gettleman, wasn't really sold to him. I wanted Lewis Riddick from ESPN. I'm tired of these retreads. Like I said, Gettleman has been with the organization, knows the organization for years, this and that, blah, blah, but it is what it is. So my expectations of the 2018 Giants season, I didn't really have any. I mean, I really didn't. I mean, that offensive line wasn't addressed. Yes, they addressed it with, you know, Solder and, you know, Hernandez, who we drafted in the draft at left guard. But that right side, the right side of the offensive line.
How did last season go?
It was terrible. But the right side offensive line, Eli Manning, he needs to be protected. They couldn't get it protected. They couldn't protect him. Chad Wheeler, he's terrible. So, yeah, that's how it went. But Eli Manning, over 4,200 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Your Giants went 6-10, but they had the rookie of the year, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to next. I mean, Saquon Barkley, yes, he's the future. Like I said, this is a 3-year process with Shurmur and Gettleman. So I'm thinking this upcoming season, 2019 season, I'm thinking we're still going to struggle, because in 2020, we'll have over $100 million in cap space. We can go out and get our big name wide receiver.
You sound like a Browns fan. Oh, wait till next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the season ain't even started. You say, wait till next year. Yeah. Take it for Tua. Now I'm playing y'all drafted a quarterback at 6.
Yeah, like I said, this is 2000. This is all about 2020. Seriously, man. I mean, it's true. As a Giants fan, I'm not holding out.
Kyrie Irving's
going
to be available in free agents.
Oh, I ain't paying attention to him. But anyway, Odell Beckham was our number one receiver. I mean, I love Odell. I have his jersey. It pissed me off when we got rid of him, but it is what it is. I know Odell can't stay healthy towards the end of the season. He probably just took that time off and quit laughing in my ear right now. Evan Engram only started 8 games due to injury, 45 catches, 577 yards, could have had 1,000 receiving yards if he stayed healthy. Sterling Shepard bought out, 66 catches, 872 yards. He's going to be number one receiver for the Giants this offseason. Like I said, offense line I already talked about, defensive line. Let me just talk about this whole defense. And yes, we bring in James Betcher, and it was going to be bad before the season started, because I'm like, we bringing in Kareem Martin. We're starting him an outside linebacker. He didn't do SHIT in Arizona, but he knows Belcher. He knows the system, so I get that. But we didn't bring in no pass rushers. I mean, Olivier Vernon, only 7 sacks. He can't stay healthy. We know how he is, but we do have some nice young talent. Lorenzo, 4.5 sacks. Tomlinson, 59 tackles on the season. B.J. Hill, which was a surprise coming from the nose tackle position, 5.5 sacks. And that's pretty much it. Vernon, 7 sacks. Ogletree balled out, had 5 interceptions, actually stepped his game up in pass covers. Goodson can't stay healthy, made 61 tackles, 2 interceptions. Then the secondary, Jenkins, 2 interceptions. Then we had Webb with a pick, Haley with 33 tackles, Curtis Riley, 4 interceptions, Landon Collins. I mean, we ain't going to pay Collins all that damn money. So, like I said, man, it's all about 2020. I just went through the list because Janoris Jenkins, this is going to be the last season. He's going to be gone. So it's all about 2020. I mean, there's not much more I can say. I just got to wait to 2020.
Okay, Neek. Well, the big thing, I mean, I think with the Giants is we have to examine this 6th overall draft pick. I mentioned already Daniel Jones out of Duke. You know, 6th overall out of Duke. You look at the production, you know, in college. I mean, the numbers, I mean, not a lot of passing yards. You know, we did have, what, about 25 touchdowns last season?
Rue, let me put it like this, man. Rue, stop, man. Daniel Jones, listen, he had no talent at Duke, no wide receivers. Yes, his passing numbers are like pedestrian-like, but he comes from kind of like that Manning tree. He was coached and trained by one of the best Coach Cutliff. You know what I'm saying? David Cutliff is one of the best in the game. So far, you know, we're talking about last season's team, but 2019 so far, mini camp. Daniel Jones has came in and blown the doors off. Yes, I know it's mini camp. Going up in the training camp, Shermer's already talking about it's a battle between him and Eli Manning. I mean, this is what happens, Rude, when you get to another career into the NFL and there's actually some talent. So you have some guys you could throw the ball to that can catch the ball.
Neek, first of all, it's not a battle. But I will tell you this. Daniel Jones, is not that he's like a bad player or anything like that. I just think at that spot where they drafted him number 6, I like Dwayne Haskins and Drew Locke as like pretty much my top 2 quarterbacks in the draft. So if Kyler Murray was off the board, to me, you got your pick between the 2 guys that I thought were the best in the draft. And they chose to go with Daniel Jones. The one thing about Daniel Jones is he's mobile, you know. I mean, so he can do, like you say, a lot of read option. You didn't mention it this show, but we talked about that off air. You know, read option with Saquon Barkley. It probably could work well for the Giants, and they might want to transition to it even before he's ready because of that dual threat element that he kind of gives. But in the NFL, bro, he's not going to have a long career if he thinks that he's going to be able to outrun defensive ends at this level. But that was the number 6 draft pick. Number 17 overall, they drafted Dexter Williams. You know, they got that pick from the Browns. You know, the defensive tackle out of Clemson. Don't forget he had that issue with being suspended, you know, going into the national championship game. So, you know, we'll see what Dexter Williams can do. But he's definitely has the potential to be a force for the Giants inside. Then you got to also look at the fact they drafted DeAndre Baker at 30 overall. I also like Julian Love in the 4th round out of Notre Dame. Don't forget, you know, the fact we mentioned that the trades that the Giants had with the Browns. So they did acquire Jabril Peppers and Kevin Zeitler from the Browns. Jabril Peppers, a former first-round draft pick of the Browns, in that Odell Beckham trade, and then Kevin Zeitler almost traded straight up for Olivier Vernon, defensive end now playing for the Browns. Golden Tate was the big acquisition by the Giants in free agency. Also, Antoine Bethea, the old safety. And Landon Collins left the Giants, and also Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon, as we formerly mentioned. So, Nick, let's move on to these Eagles.
Yeah, and let me just clarify this. This is why it's about 2020. You know why? This is the perfect reason.
Y'all
perfect answer.
Kevin Durant.
Nope, perfect answer right here. This is why the Giants are all about 2020. Do you know, Rue, head into this upcoming season, right? Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate, right? Those are our two wide receivers. They're pretty much the same. Main slot receivers, right?
Smurf receivers.
Yeah. So check this out. The other three wide receivers who we had last year, right? Benny Fowler, Cody Lattimore, Russell Shepard, they're all coming back this year. They're all supposed to contribute this year, right? Did you know all three of them totally had 37 catches for 577 yards and 4 touchdowns? So we're going into the season with Eli Manning, right? He's going to be throwing to Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Cody Lattimore, Benny Fowler, and Russell Shepard. That's it, man. That's why it's all about 2020. It's going to be a bad year for this Giants team, 2020.
He's going to probably come and show out for y'all.
Nah, he might do a little something, but it's all about 2020. All right, Philadelphia Eagles. Definitely, Ingram, like I said, he's the tight end. He's got to stay healthy. Philadelphia Eagles was kind of a disappointing season for this team. They went 9-7, averaging 23 points a game. Carson Wentz played 11 games due to injury, threw over 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Running back situation still in flux. I mean, Josh Adams had over 500 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. Wendell Smallwood, Jay Ajayi only played in 4 games due to injury. So they need to get that. They got to figure out who's going to be the lead back heading into 2019 season. Wide
Darius
receiver position.
Guys. Don't forget about Darius Geis.
Nah, that's for the Redskins, man. also,
you
at the wide
receiver.
Yeah, I am, man.
Jordan Howard is all about Jordan Howard.
Yeah, Jordan Howard. Well, you touch on in a minute. I'm talking about last year, Rude. That's 2019. We're going
to
get to you. Calm down.
I'm ready. I'm just ready.
I know. All right. Wide receiver position, Nelson Aguilar, 64 catches, over 700 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. Alshon Jeffrey, good season, over 800 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. Golden Tate contributed because they got him late in the season, 30 catches, 278 receiving yards. Tight end, man, Zach Ertz. Woo! Where he come from? Yes, we know Zach Ertz is a beast. But last season, 116 receptions, over 1,100 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, and his backup, Dallas Goedert, 33 catches, 334 yards, 4 touchdowns. Well, offensive line, solid as usual. We know the Eagles have a solid offensive line. Defense line, Brandon Gant chipped in with 4 sacks. Bennett chipped in with 9 sacks. Fletcher Cox, one of the best D tackles in the game, 10.5 sacks. And then Derek Barnett, the youngster out of Tennessee, was actually on his way to having a hell of a season, had 2.5 sacks, only played in 6 games before tearing his ACL, and Chris Long contributed with 6 sacks. Linebacker position, Nigel Bradham, 97 tackles on the year. Jordan Hicks, big production, big guy they're going to lose. Rudy's going to touch on that this upcoming season. Had 91 tackles, 3 sacks. In the secondary, we already know the MVP of the secondary is all about Jenkins. But that cornerback position, man, Rasul Douglas, Ronald Darby couldn't stay healthy. I mean, that's kind of like the weak spot for this defense. And for the Eagles, disappointing season, but they're going to bounce back this upcoming season.
All right, you know, when we talk about what the Eagles did this offseason and free agency, they did draft Andre Dillard as the 22nd overall pick out of Washington State. You know, he is blocking up in Washington State for Gardner Minshew. That's my guy this past season. In the second round, I really love this draft pick for the Eagles. They got Miles Sanders at running back from Penn State. I really feel like this team needed to go out and, improve themselves in the running game. Darius Geis does not play for them. He does play for the Redskins. I'm going to touch on that in just a second. But I did want to mention, too, that also in the second round, the Eagles drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford. I mentioned that earlier. I think that's going to be an excellent pick for them. You know, I think they could use some help at that position as well. They need some guys to step up as well. You know, when you talk about Alshon and You know, players of that caliber, you know, former USC Nelson Aguilar receiver there. So we'll see what they can do with their receiving core. Free agency, Jordan Howard, that trade, man. Oh, man, that was huge. Huge pickup there. That's why I think the running game's kind of solidified there. My man Cody Kessler out of USC was also signed by the Eagles, you know, in April. Vinny Curry, defensive end, you know, going to be retained by the team. Tim Jernigan, defensive tackle signed. Blake Countess, I don't know if you remember him, he's from Michigan, but the Eagles did sign him. Also, Malik Jackson, and the real big acquisition by the Eagles this offseason was DeSean Jackson. Notable guys to leave. The Eagles in free agency or, you know, via trade. Nick Foles, Chris Long retired. Michael Bennett was traded to the Patriots. And then Jordan Hicks departing as well.
All right. Like you said, DeSean Jackson, I'm coming home to you. Coming back to Philadelphia. All right. Washington Redskins. Man, this team on the defense side of the ball, that front seven. Me and Rudy was talking before the show. Damn, they got some talent. But on the offense side of the ball last season, Alex Smith.
This is more about bad quarterback play.
Yeah, well, actually, no, it was Alex Smith. Alex Smith got hurt.
Alex Smith was hurt, yeah. Bad quarterback play. It was guys off the street quarterback play.
Yeah, Alex Smith played in 10 games for he had that gruesome knee and leg injury.
Did you play in the last game for the Redskins at quarterback? I thought you did.
Nah, you're talking about Josh Johnson, man. Yeah, it was pretty bad they brought in Josh Johnson. But anyway, that's what you have to do. I mean, towards the end of the season, we're not getting – stellar play from your backup. We know Colt McCoy got injured as well.
Not to mention how the Redskins started off last year, too. They look like they had this division in hand.
Yeah, because like I said, they have a lot of talent on that defense side of the ball. That defense was keeping this boring, terrible offense off the field. I mean, because like I said, we already touched on Alex Smith. He went down. It was a wrap. Adrian Peterson found the fountain of youth, over 1,000 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns. Darius Geis. Yeah, he tore his ACL. He was supposed to be a nice little 1-2 punch. A receiver position, terrible. One of the worst in the league. I mean, we're talking about Crowder, Richardson, Jordan Reed, Doxson, Vernon Davis. Jordan Reed led this team with 54 catches. 54 catches. That's it. Nobody even came close to over 700, 800 yards, 558 yards. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Offensive line, you know, it was pretty bad. It was decent, but I mean, you know, they still have some work to do at the left guard position. Defensive side of the ball, like I said, that front seven, man, was just beast. I mean, Jonathan Allen, 8 sacks. Deron Payne, nose tackle, 5 sacks.
Talk about Kerrigan.
You know, Kerrigan, 13 sacks. And, you know, the secondary was decent. I mean, so-so. I mean, it wasn't the best. Norman, 3.
Norman.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much Norman. And then, you know, linebacker position also. I want to give a shout-out to, like I said, Foster for 131 tackles. Zach Brown, 96 tackles, but he left in free agency. So, for the Redskins, it's all about the quarterback play heading in 2019.
It's really all about the quarterback play. And, that Nick, that's exactly where I'm going to start off. Dwayne Haskins, I thought he was probably going to go at 6 to the Giants. Nick, did you think that? Okay, well, I mean, and, you know, that was the early draft talk and what everybody's putting in their mock drafts. But as it got close to the draft, it seemed like less of a sure thing. And sure thing is not what ended up happening. Dwayne Haskins ended up falling down to the Redskins at 15. And, you know, the story is, you know, Dwayne Haskins went to school with Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins' son, or played at the same school that they both went to. And, you know, he infatuated with this play. So, you know, this is where he ends up. And for him to drop down to 15 to the Redskins, I think that, you know, this is one of those situations because Daniel Snyder is known to reach and overpay. This is one of those situations where things actually worked out for him. So, you know, for the Redskins to get Dwayne Haskins, potentially their future franchise quarterback at 15 overall, excellent. Montez Sweat went 26 overall to the Redskins to try to help that great front seven. They got Terry McLaurin, could be the guy that Dwayne Haskins targets a lot and is comfortable with coming out of Old State. Pick that I love for the Redskins in the fourth round was Bryce Love out of Stanford. We talked about two guys out of Stanford on the show, Arcega Whiteside as well, that was drafted by the Eagles. Kelvin Harmon, a receiver that the Redskins drafted in the sixth round. In free agency, you look at the fact that the Redskins, you know, they traded for Case Keenum. Landon Collins was a guy that, you know, ended up
Nah, I mean, Landon Collins, I mean, they paid, overpaid. That's the bottom line. They overpaid.
It hurt the Giants that he left and went in division. Also, Dominique Rogers Cromartie and Brian Quick, who is a former bust, overrated, got dropped off. You know, he's a former first round draft pick. We'll see what he could do. Guys, you mentioned Zach Brown.
We're not talking about Brian Quick,
Zach
man. That's
Brown.
The end of the show, man.
Zach Brown.
Well, Zach Brown. All right, fans, we'll see you guys next week.
You know it, man. Take care.
See y'all.